This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
Three balls and two strikes to Duran. The pitch is swung on and missed. He got him. And the ball game is over. A night to forget for the Red Sox, but hopefully a night to remember for Coop. The fireworks explode. 11-1 Chicago. Sox need a bounce back tomorrow in a big-time way.
Terrible weekend for the Red Sox. Crochet tried to salvage it yesterday. Great start out of him. No fault of his own. Could have had a no-hitter. I thought Cora had a quick hook with him, but no harm, no foul. They got the win. Whitlock got out of the inning. Whitlock got boned in the meantime on a, I would call it a questionable call, but it was a clear strike. So the Red Sox salvage a game in the series.
They avoid the sweep at the hands of the White Sox.
They're going against one of the worst teams, we think, in the history of baseball. Last year, they were one of the worst teams in the history of baseball. That's I think they're going to be there again.
Yep.
As Keith pointed out, they subtracted Crochet. You now have him on your side, and you still barely got a win against this team.
They were on an 8-game losing streak when you opened the series, and they scored 11 runs on you Friday. Now you were booting the ball around.
And they walked it off on Saturday.
Yeah.
So Friday, to me, really summarized all of their issues. Again, 11 strikeouts, 5 errors. They struck out 11 times on Saturday. Yesterday was better. No errors. I think it was 7 Ks off the top of my head in that game. Yeah, 7 strikeouts. So 29 more strikeouts, 5 more errors this weekend. They lead baseball still in strikeouts, 165 compared to 160 for the Rockies, though they played 2 extra games. And they lead the Bigs in errors as well, 19, also over the Rockies, who have 15 in second place. In a related story, when you get to the Colorado Rockies, they're 3-12 this year.
So they're off to a rocky start.
They are indeed.
Jeez.
So that is now the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
And you have more strikeouts than them, more errors than them. And it speaks to why you're underachieving in a game under 500 at 8-9. They're sloppy, offensively, defensively. How much of that is on the manager, Alex Cora?
It's hard to say because defensively, we've talked about this for years, right? They've had a lot of teams that weren't great defensively, and we looked at the people that were out there. And this is a year where they actually made a pretty significant change, or so we thought. And if Cora just stuck with Devers at third, I think we'd all be saying, yeah, this might be on Cora. But he made the call. He made the tough call. At least him, because he has to deal with the personality. It's not tough for us from the outside, but he made the tough call in the clubhouse and put Bregman at third, and he's one of the main reasons why you have so many errors. So that part, like, I don't know if I really blame on Cora as much. It looks like it should be a pretty good defensive alignment. I mean, Campbell's a little shaky, but you want him in your lineup, and where else are you going to play him? I know he's played some outfield. The defense in the outfield's pretty good, like, personnel-wise. So I don't know about that one. And then when you get into the strikeout part of it, it's like, all right, is this a Cora thing or this is more
Breslow and driveline?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that. Which I think, I mean, Cora's going along with it and he has a big contract to, you know, go along with things that
yeah,
they've dictated
if
to.
If he disagreed with it, he could have got out. He was a free agent at the end of last year. He took their money. So
if he
really, truly, fundamentally disagreed with Breslow and driveline,
yeah,
he had an out. He didn't have to sign.
I know. But, all right, so let's say, if we boil the driveline thing down to, like, smack the ball in the air, hit the ball in the air, hit home runs, I feel like that's not how Cora wants to do it. I feel like Cora, even a couple years ago when the team would be going, even in the clubhouse a little bit, when the team was, like, at the time they were doing well, he's like, I want an athletic team, and we have an athletic team. Not every team in baseball is that way.
Nope.
You have guys that are just boppers and literally 3 outcome players, and that's it. Cora likes to steal. He likes hit and run. And, you know, a guy like Jaren Duran is such a great example of, how about don't hit the ball in the air? Hit the ball, like, between short and third, and you might even still get to second base with your speed. I feel like he would rather that, but you don't. You want to hit home runs, and you're not hitting home runs, and you're striking out. The strikeouts of themselves, I don't think, is the biggest issue in the world, but you have to then smack dingers. And if you're not smacking dingers, then the strikeouts then kill you.
Right.
Right, because the Dodgers are striking out really at a high rate this year as well. But they got, what, 2-3 times as many home runs as the Red Sox do? So your offense is going to look a whole lot different.
So when I say some of it has to be on Cora,
I mean,
somewhere,
he's the manager,
there.
Yeah.
You're the manager. The Red Sox in 2024, in terms of overall errors, were second in baseball, 115 last year. In 2023, they were second in baseball, 102 errors. And I think the last couple of years, and I brought this up, sloppy fielding, poor fundamentals defensively. I brought this up the last couple of years, and what you constantly hear from Red Sox fans in defense of Alex Cora is, what's he supposed to do? He's got Pedro Reyes playing shortstop.
Pablo.
And they have, I'm sorry, Pablo Reyes playing shortstop. You have all these injuries out there.
It started the year, was it 2 years ago, and he had like a million errors.
So what you hear is they don't have the personnel. And it's like, okay, they don't have the personnel.
Yeah, see, now they might.
What's the excuse now? Yeah. You have Bregman, who's won a gold glove at third. Story's healthy, so you can't blame the shortstop. If you want to get on Campbell a little bit, fine. Their outfield is supposed to be gold glove caliber across the board.
Yeah.
So what's the excuse? And at some point, I got to look at the manager, I think, more for that than the K's, because I agree with you. I don't think Alex Cora believes in striking out at the clip they're striking out. I think it bothers him more than it bothers Breslow and the driveline guys. And I think you've heard that. We heard it last week when he went on WEEI Afternoons. He said, I hate the strikeouts. He said they're going to normalize. They're going to sort themselves out. They didn't last year. We'll see if they do this year. But I still can't completely let him off the hook for that, because if you didn't want to deal with the Red Sox and their approach and their analytics, you didn't have to take their money. You don't have to take this job. You were a free agent. You were reportedly going to be highly sought after. You reportedly were going to have your pick of the litter for jobs. And so you decided to come back here. On some level, you're complicit with that, even if you stamp your feet and say you don't like strikeouts. On some level, you're on board with it. So where's Alex Cora on the list? I don't know how high up or low down he is on the list. He's on the list, though, because they're doing it again, and they should have the personnel defensively.
Yeah, it's strange. They have 13 different players have committed at least one error. Bregman leads the way with 3, but like everybody has had an issue with it. I mean, even their catchers all have errors. Like, they got a pitcher on there with an error. Like, it's a little bit of everybody, and you would hope that, at least with some of the guys, right? I don't know about Christian Campbell, but with Bregman and Story and really all the outfielders, won't over the course of a long season, that should level off a little bit. We're like, yeah, they're going to have an error here or there, but they just have so many early, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it has any carryover from spring or whatever.
Well, but is that a fair thing to wonder? Like, do they put in the work in spring training where they're sloppy to start? Like, I'm not telling you I know the answer, but is that a fair thing to question? 3 years in a row.
I feel like Campbell was out there a ton.
Yeah.
Now, whether that makes you good or not.
But, like, what are they doing in spring training? Like, it begs the question, what are they doing in spring training? Because last year they were second in errors. 2023, they were second in errors. Right now they're first in errors. And they should have the personnel. So, like, what kind of work, what kind of approach do they have in the offseason? On some level, it's always on the players. They're the ones out there making the errors. But I would start to look at the manager and go, why are you guys below 500? You went out and signed players, which to a degree lets John Henry off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
You have a manager who's been begging for talent the last couple of years. Now you have it, and you're dropping 2 out of 3 to the White Sox. So the spotlight needs to go on him a little bit. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. I was thinking about this today, Keith. You know, the Bruins had this brutal start to the year.
They sure did.
And I think early on...
end to the year.
Well, this is my point.
And middle.
Early on, people were like, well, it's early and the Bruins are going to be fine. And I subscribe to that. And I subscribe to that right now with the Red Sox. Oh, it's early. Don't overreact. It's early. It turns out with the Bruins mercilessly getting to the end of their year, their slow start, their crummy start, it informed the whole season. I mean, they never really, truly dug out of the funk to start their year. And I don't know, I hope the Red Sox aren't in the same spot. The Bruins spent a bunch of money this offseason. They tried to upgrade their talent just like the Red Sox tried to. The Bruins never dug out of it. So for all the small sample size, slow start, it's early people, I would ask you to think about the Bruins, who, speaking of them, Greg had a report this morning.
Yeah, Scoop Central.
Did you catch this live? I did not.
I heard it after the fact.
So yeah. Were you guys talking about this in the crossover?
Yeah, we talked about it in the crossover.
Okay, you did. So I couldn't hear that
down
Greg the
hall. Believes this Wednesday there could be a resignation from someone in the front office.
Who's
he? Doesn't say who.
Who's he?
What do you mean, who's he?
No, when the clip there, when it says, who's he? He gone. Who's so he? Sweeney? Neely?
This is me guessing.
Yeah.
Sweeney.
That's
a guess.
Why Sweeney, not Neely? Neely's too insulated from the Jacobs family.
Yeah, also, I don't
the Jacobs family.
Sure. And I also don't think Neely's going to get blamed for the bad drafts over the years, which, I'll be honest, I think are a little overstated. But generally, it's looked at that he's a bad drafter.
I mean, Sweeney's a poor drafter.
But, like,
It might be overstated, but he's not good.
But there's some guy, like, it's not all bad. Plus, they traded so many of their picks.
Uh-huh.
But let's just say, for the most part, everybody looks at him as a bad drafter, right? I'll give you that. So you have a pretty important draft coming up. Also, he's about to have to hire, his third head coach in 4 years or whatever it is? I guess not higher than 4 years. But you know what I'm saying? Like, in his tenure, hiring yet another coach.
Yeah, he brought in, he hired Cassidy.
Yeah.
He hired Montgomery, right? Yeah. Did he hire Cassidy? That was still him.
He did hire Cassidy. Yeah.
And Sacco kind of, sort of counts. I guess not really. It'll be his third hire if he makes it to the offseason.
So that's kind of tough, right? And that's why I wonder if it's one of those, hey, we're either going to fire you or you can resign type of thing. Now, I guess Neely is a possibility. I wouldn't rule it out, right?
I
feel like Sweeney's more likely, though.
Don't you kind of? So I would agree with you. I think Sweeney's more likely than Neely. Based on Greg's reporting, there's no indication it would be both, but I feel like they're pretty tied to the hip.
Yeah.
Is there any chance they're both out? That'd be great news. Neely and Sweeney both out would be great news.
And then does that, you mentioned Chara being back at the organization?
Well,
does that have something to do with it?
I wasn't going to, but good point. Chara's kind of looming over the whole thing. Because he's 7 feet tall.
He does that to everybody, yeah.
But also, he was brought in late, and when he was brought in, we're kind of raising our antenna going, what the hell's up with that?
Yeah.
So could he usurp some power in the front office? Maybe. But Greg Hill is hearing there will be a resignation in the Bruins front office on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
We were already planning on talking to Scott McLaughlin that day, so that times out pretty well.
That'd be a
good day for
that.
We'll have McLaughlin in studio to break it all down. Should there be big Bruins breaking news? I initially said, Keith, how do you let Sweeney run the whole trade deadline, trade away the whole team, and then turn around and fire him? I don't think he's resigning by his own choice. My guess is he's getting nudged out, and they're going to frame it as a resignation.
But
you made a good point.
What does he do well?
He does well with the NHL trades.
Trades. And so they...
And he does poor, even if it's overstated. He does poor with the drafting. So maybe they hit it perfectly.
And maybe Jacobs or even Neely were like, hey, we give you the green light on all these guys to trade. Right, you could trade Marchand.
Get rid of whoever you want.
Coyle,
bring in
Carlo.
Whatever you want. You got the green light on that, and then they turn around and fire him because somebody else needs to make the fourth pick or whatever it is. That's not a bad
think about it.
Not a bad way to go about it.
I know.
I don't know if that's what the Bruins are doing, but you want Sweeney to make your trades. You don't want him to draft.
Right.
So you let him run the trade deadline, and then you bring in somebody else to draft.
And people speculating Sacco. No, I think it's above Sacco. Sacco's an interim head coach. He's gone anyway. I don't think that's what it would be. He's not going to resign.
He's not going to. He doesn't even have a job.
He's like,
in terms of like job
guys
security.
Guys that resign, they're like, dude, what?
Okay. He's also not, the way it's worded, at least in Chris's tweet, is that it's a Bruins front office member. He's not a front office member.
Yeah,
and
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think he's going to be resigning. Does he even have a contract beyond the year?
No. It's not him. He'll be gone, and it'll be yet another head coach in there.
617-779-7937. That's the Bruins in their draft. Speaking of the NFL draft, it's a mock draft Monday on Jones and Keefe. We'll give you a mock. We'll break it down. We'll react to it next.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Jones and Keefe here on a mock draft Monday. Every Monday from now until the draft, which is 10 days, 9 hours, 12 minutes, 48 seconds. 46, 45.
Man, we are sneaking up on
seconds.
It, huh?
We are.
That's exciting.
As of Thursday, we'll be 1 week out from the NFL draft. Field Yates of ESPN going to join us at 10:30 on Thursday.
Very good.
So mark that down as we continue with our draft coverage. We'll give you a mock here in a moment. Just real quick, because you mentioned it to me off the air, and I was just reading an item from Florio about it. The video of Jordan at the UNC.
Yeah, what is going on there?
Practice. She's like out on the field.
Walking around on the field while the players are practicing.
Like fussing around with Bill's microphone and stuff.
What is happening? What has happened maybe is the better question. But that is strange. For even like there's a lot of Bill defenders and there's a lot of the quote unquote, he's living his best life.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of those guys.
Good for you, Bill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, what a dream. Yeah. There's a lot of those guys, and that's fine. You want her traipsing around the field? What player wives or coach wives are on the field during spring practice?
On the field in the middle of practice. Not on the sideline.
Yeah.
On the field.
That could be your future Miss Maine, by the way.
Yeah, she's
all you maniacs.
She is running for
she's in the mix.
Miss Maine.
Yep. She could be Miss Maine.
So good. The good job by Terps. So on the field.
Or Mrs. Maine if Bill Belichick has his way soon.
That's a good point.
Look, she's wearing like she looks like she's like going on stage at
Coachella. Bill, let me get Bill his microphone. Look, she's like testing the microphone. She runs it over to Bill. Wild.
Who's the coach next to him that like she walked over? He just like looked away. He's like, oh God, what am I supposed to do now with this? She's like holding him up.
Yeah.
Very
questionable.
Yeah.
Highly questionable.
I would say a bit.
I'll tell you, John Lyons was at this practice. John Lyons, WEEI. You can check it out.
We flew him to Chapel Hill for
that? I don't know. WEEI.com, Odyssey app. He covered the thing firsthand.
He was at practice?
He said Jordan was there. She
sure was.
I didn't quite get the full gamut of what of her involvement in the practice until that video came out.
Is she an assistant coach?
I don't know.
She might be.
You
pull up the game day rosters, and there she is.
She legitimately
might be. Is she
the
one's going to get him Nico Imeliava? Because apparently UNC is the favorite after Tennessee.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Bill's going to bring in the guy. That'll be fun. Bill's going to bring in the guy who is holding out for more money at the University of Tennessee that Tennessee moved on from.
Tennessee, yeah. Wouldn't practice. So they said.
Who made the joke on Friday where they're like, I can't wait. That was
me.
He.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Bill negotiate. He's going to bring in this guy.
Take that guy? I don't know.
Excellent. Okay.
Good value there, I guess.
Enough about Bill at UNC. Mock Draft Monday, Keith. Everybody knows him. Our guy, Gennaro Felice.
Oh, one of the best.
At NFL.com. NFL.com.
You can't say mock draft season without Gennaro Felice.
He's got a mock draft out now at NFL.com. He has Cam Ward, 1.
God.
Abdul Carter, 2. Travis Hunter, 3.
Oh, no!
I quibble on the order, but they're both gone.
Oh, no!
Patriots are on the clock at 4. The pick is obviously Will Campbell, right?
Yeah, gotta be.
Wrong.
What?
Mason Graham
no!
at pick 4.
I don't want that.
Is there any merit to at 4, Keith? They're going to need to leave the draft with a tackle. But maybe you could get one late first round or at pick 38.
Okay.
They're going to need to leave the draft with a receiver, I would say, somewhere in the first 2 days, meaning in the first 3 rounds of the draft.
Okay.
Is there any merit to, at 4, because we're both big proponents of you got to take the best player that's there, is there any merit to, well, let's just really beef up on the defensive side of the football, put a premium pick at pick number 4 out there. That's not Abdul Carter. I think we'd agree on Carter, Hunter to a degree. Somebody that's not those two guys, continue to beef up the defense. You put all the resources into the defense.
Did.
And we'll figure out tackle and wide receiver later on. We'll get another premium guy here, and we're going to win games on defense. Is there any merit to that approach?
No.
None?
Well, I don't think so because there are plenty of other guys available that I think can help your offense, including the offensive tackle, but there's also skill guys that could help. I don't want Mason Graham. Like, that is... You spent a lot of money on Milton Williams. You talk about resources, right? You spent a lot of it there. You also have Christian Barmore, and I think there's been positive updates on Barmore, right? Like, I think he's going to be able to play. Keon White's still on the team. I know some of these guys play different positions, but your front, Harold Landry was added. Like, just on defense, Mason Graham, I'm not saying he's going to be a bust, but I certainly don't want him with what is available. And at 4, this isn't even the, hey, you trade down to 9 – you know, because the Saints want a quarterback, you get all these extra picks. Some of the offensive players that we like are off the board, but Graham's still there. Maybe then you could talk me into it. I still wouldn't love that approach, but I hated it at 4.
So here's what he has at 24 after Mason Graham. He has the Patriots moving up and taking Kelvin Banks in a trade with the Minnesota Vikings. So to me, you would have to do the second part of that to justify taking a guy like Graham.
Yep.
At pick 4. Like, okay, we're taking the best player. We're
another
beefing up our defense.
Who could be a guard.
And then we're going to go get a tackle at 24. I'm not sure that Banks is a tackle. But I'm okay. I'm much more okay taking the risk at 24 with a guy who we're going to start at tackle, see how it goes, and if we got to kick him inside to guard, at least we still have a player.
If we come on the air a week from Friday after round 1 of the draft and it's just Mason Graham, that's
not
tough.
Happy with it.
No, that's bad. But if it's Graham and an offensive tackle, it's a little bit better. But I would rather offensive tackle and Genty, offensive tackle and receiver, offensive tackle and Ty Warren. Those are better.
I agree with you. I just wonder if there's a school of thought out there and fans who agree with, we'll keep building on the defense, win games on defense. Drake May should be able to figure it out on offense, win games on defense. By the way, he has Genty 5, Will Campbell 6, Membu 7, Walker 8, Shadur at 9. Mykel Williams at 10. That's the latest at NFL.com. And a mock draft Monday here on Jones and Keith.
Does he have Dart? I'm scrolling through it. I don't think he has Dart in the first round.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where he had Dart. Does he have him at 26?
Oh,
I thought I saw Dart in there. Maybe not.
I don't think so. So he is down on quarterbacks. He is only two in the top 10.
And I think a lot of what you're reading is, you know, Shador at the minimum is dropping. The question is how far, and is he dropping below Jackson Dart? So you can jump in here, 617-779-7937. Let's take some calls. Eric's in Wakefield. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Two things, one on the draft and one with the Red Sox first base problem. I'll ask you guys, and then I'll listen to what you have to say. First thing is, don't you think if the Jets got Shador Sanders, and he turned out to be really, really good, it looks like egg in the Giants' face being two New York-based teams. That's one.
Okay.
And the second thing is, you guys played baseball, and always the best athlete pretty much going through high school is a shortstop, correct?
Pretty much, sure. I mean, I played center field. But,
yeah, correct. But I'm 62, and it changed over the years.
No, I got you. No, so, I get your point. What's the question?
So my second thing is, there's only one thing Tristan Cassius would do better than Maya playing first base, if you put a glove on him at first base, is hit more home runs. That's it.
Okay, so he wants Meyer at first base.
I'm not there yet.
Me neither.
I'm not. I want Meyer up with the big club, and if they keep scuffling, you got to find a place for him.
Well, but we keep saying he's going to get in because Trevor Story's going to get hurt. Story's been their best hitter for the last week.
He's been really good.
So, I mean, give Story his due. I still think he's going to get hurt, and Meyer's position will get sorted out. I'm not moving him to first base. Neil is in Maine on our Bruins conversation. Go ahead, Neil.
Hey, guys. Great show. I love listening to you. Like I told your screener, I go up and down the country. I live in a van, and if it wasn't for the Odyssey, I couldn't listen to this great station.
Well, there you go. It's a ringing endorsement for the app.
Hell yeah. Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, man. So I landed home in Maine. I'm in Bailey Island, Maine. And the whole thing with the Bruins, I was thinking about it for a while this morning when I heard it on the morning show.
Right.
I think what's going to be happening is I think they're going to fire Sweeney.
Okay.
They want to get rid of Sweeney. And Cam Neely is a very loyal, honest guy throughout the years with his contracts with the Bruins and everything else. He stood right by him. So I think Sweeney's going to get fired, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's a two-for-one deal, and Cam Neely is upset, and he doesn't like this plan, and he's going to resign.
Oh, he resigns. So Sweeney out, and he resigns. So, Neil, can I think we have some questions.
We have several.
Just about what's going on here, so it's a good take. You're when you say you're back home in Maine, you're in the van? Where are you in Maine? You're in the van.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a van. I work at the Driftwood Inn in Bailey Island, and we haven't opened up yet. So I got up here a little while, about 10 days early. So I'm going to be in my van for the next 10 days as well.
What's the setup in the van look like, Neil? What's the setup looking like? Like a big kind of like rug back there? Or what does it look like?
Water bag?
Yeah, I have a little rug. It's a little van. It's like almost a form of a Waltham little mini apartment.
Oh, it's like Waltham.
Love that. Yeah. Nice, right? On wheels.
Sounds lovely. That's where Jaren Duran, we found out in the clubhouse, that's where Jaren Duran lives. You're living like Duran.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. There you go.
This past winter, guys, I was listening to you right now on the beaches of Key West.
Wow. Brag. So how about that? Well, Neil, good stuff.
That's great, Neil.
We appreciate you listening to us all up and down the East Coast in the van. Good stuff.
Yeah, well, all the way up to Vegas, as a matter of fact.
Vegas, nice.
It's probably the best plug.
Sick brag, bro.
Best plug for the Odyssey I've heard in a long time.
How dare you?
That's pretty good.
I've never heard such a plug for the Odyssey.
His van and the Odyssey app. He could go all over the country. See all these great places. Listen to the show. Keep up with the show.
He's living on the beaches in Maine, and it's like Waltham.
Also, wanted to get his take on Jordan being Miss Maine. He'd probably be, I don't know if he's thrilled with that.
Next time.
Take a lot of pride in that, maybe.
Yeah. Next time. Don't be a stranger. 617-779-7937. We'll mix in all your thoughts. The Red Sox, their terrible weekend. The Masters, we got more thoughts on Rory coming up, plus a mock draft Monday. All your thoughts on the Patriots and their pick at number 4. Let's mix in a few on Jaylen Brown as well. Ominous reporting, I thought, from Ramona Shelburne. I know the team tried to talk that down. Is it time to worry about Jaylen and his knee? That's next.